It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built Fuller Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. You can feel it in the air. You can feel the energy around here. You know what we're about to have. Boomer, we're about to have ourselves a fall classic. A full classic.
It's finally here.
A full classic, yes. Tomorrow night. So that's, of course, going to be on our minds. We're giving away tickets to Game 3 of the World Series all day tomorrow, so don't forget about that. We did get some football news yesterday. Apparently, Devontae Adams has now bopped into this locker room, and he has taken over, and he's going to give the speech that's going to turn this team around. Maybe it'll be like that Mets team meeting. Maybe that will be the reference point that we have moving forward with the Jets as they try to turn around their season. And John Mara, a man that I spoke to before the game the other night and watched him have his Saquon moment. Well, he was speaking yesterday, and he gave the dreaded vote of confidence to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. In the long history of sports and owners and general managers and coaches, there's been many of those votes of confidence that end with, well, a firing. So we'll see how this one goes. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what, G? I am doing great today because last night was the first night in, it seems like, a dog's age that I didn't have to worry about anything that was sports related.
A dog's age?
Yes. I mean, like, there were games on. There were different, you know, you had the Flyers and Capitals on. You had a couple basketball games on. Teams opening up their seasons on. I really wasn't interested. So what did I do? I fell asleep.
Great.
And I got a good night's sleep. Awesome. So I felt good about that. Plus, I also watched a couple of World War II documentaries. You know me.
Oh, yeah.
I was want to brush up on my history.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was back to watching some YouTube golf. I had so many videos that were just stacked up there I hadn't seen.
That's right. So we got a little bit of a break, but we're getting ready to get right back in it, starting tonight with Thursday Night Football, of course. I got the Rangers and the Panthers rematch tonight down at Madison Square Garden. And, of course, tomorrow is the Knicks opening game, and then the opening night of the World Series. So a lot of stuff going on this coming weekend, and we're all going to be locked into it, including the Giants at the Steelers and the Jets at the Patriots. And
hey, don't forget about tonight, Vikings-Rams.
Vikings-Rams, yeah, well, it's your team. That's right. So here's the thing in regards to Devontae Adams, first and foremost, saying something in the locker room. There was a play after the interception that Devontae Adams was nowhere in sight. And at the end of that play, he comes in and makes a diving tackle down on the one-yard line. That one play tells me that that guy is all in. And that's the kind of play that the team will show, or the coaches will show to the team and say, this is the kind of effort we need. Even though this was a bad play and it turned out to be a negative for the Jets, the fact of the matter is, here's one of the best players in the league at his respective position. He's here for his first game, and he comes all the way back to make what seems like a meaningless tackle when he lays himself out. You know, and we talked about it Monday morning, you know, and people are like, you know, who really cares? I mean, I'll tell you who cares. He cares. He gives a crap, you know, and if more players gave a crap like he gave a crap, they wouldn't be sitting in this situation. And by the way, the entire team is waiting for Aaron Rodgers to do something, when in actuality, the rest of the team has got to hold up their end of the bargain as well. Yeah, Aaron hasn't played well the last 2 or 3 weeks. Everybody can see that. That's easy for all of us to see. What you really have to look at is you have to look at effort. You have to look at the way people are either going and putting their head in there to make a tackle or they're not. Like a la Deontay Banks for the Giants.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, either know or you don't know. And, you know, now is the time. And I think what Devontae is doing, I appreciate. I really do appreciate, because he is what you would call a fresh set of eyes on a situation that he can see has a chance of unraveling, as Troy Aikman said a couple of weeks ago. So I do appreciate it. I this is not nothing. It's something. And his performance and his attempt at that tackle and making that tackle shows me all I need to know what kind of pro he is. So that's the kind of player you want in your locker room. And I'm telling you, he's highly respected. Everybody in the league, around the league, loves the guy, thinks he's a terrific player. When he was at his height of his powers with Aaron Rodgers, he was the best route runner in the NFL. And nobody was even close. And I still think he has plenty left in the tank to give a lot more to the Jets. And hopefully this little meeting, you know, does have something or some impact on the New York Jets come Sunday up in New England.
Yeah, and he said this is not baseball. You know, you get 17 games, and you only have X amount of time to go out there and give it everything you've got to try to make the postseason. So, yeah, there's time right now, but gets late early.
Yeah, but this is really weird for me, and I hopefully you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, this is going to be really weird. He looks unbelievable in a uniform.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Garrett Wilson doesn't look like him in a uniform. You know, he looks like Justin Jefferson looks like him in a uniform. Like, there's something about how big he is.
How about A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown. But how big he is. I don't know. It's just something about him in a uniform that just looks like amazing.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. So A.J. Brown was that guy for me. I took like a bunch of pictures of him on the sideline because he's just, I don't know, there's certain guys that stand out. Like, if you never watched football in your life and you went down to the sideline, you'd be like, okay, that guy's the best player on the team. You just know, you can see it.
You can tell when you look at him.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean, and he comes with a lot of credibility, and hopefully that gets through to the team. I just don't know. I don't know what works. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers now, hamstring injury on the injury reports, and now he's at a knee, he's at an ankle, he's at a hamstring. So, you know what'll happen just because it's the Jets is they'll finally win a couple games in a row and get back on track, and then Aaron Rodgers will have to miss four games with some sort of issue.
Well, that's why they have Tyrod Taylor. So anyway,
it worked out great for the Giants last year, didn't it?
Funny conversation that I had with Phil Sims on Sunday doing the game between the Eagles and Giants. I said to Phil, I had my binoculars out.
Phil?
And I said, Phil, oh my gosh, look at Devontae Smith. Look how skinny he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could see it when you're watching the Eagles games, how skinny he is. You know what Phil says to me? He goes, oh, man, I love me some skinny wide receivers.
Really?
And I'm like, what?
Interesting. Yeah, which is sort of against his grain because he's a big, thick, you know, base, butt.
Well, he is a big, thick face and butt.
Yeah,
but he was like, man, I love me some skinny wide receivers. I'm like, what?
Huh.
I mean, Devontae Smith is really skinny.
Yeah, no, I know.
Mean, so is Garrett Wilson, by the way.
Yeah, it was shocking, honestly, to see how, you know, slight build Devontae Smith was in person on that sideline.
Like AJ Brown and Devontae Adams are not that.
Not at all in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, and Malik Nabers isn't that either. I mean, Malik Nabers he's a rookie. He's going to get bigger, but he's not skinny.
He's open.
Tell. He's open
and
all
he's
the
open
time.
Right now, he's open right now.
Allegedly. Yes. So yeah, I mean, you got two teams down that are 2-5 with a trade deadline that's still out there. You see some names that are getting tossed around, and Matt Stafford, Max Crosby, and others. I mean,
what happens tonight if the Rams beat the Vikings? Sean McVay is going to want to trade his quarterback and his wide receivers?
No, absolutely not. And I don't even think how real that is. Like, I have to look maybe deeper into their cap situation, the issues that
their
had.
Their cap is a mess.
Well, that's what I was alluding to.
Remember Les Snead, the GM out there?
Yeah, he said, F them picks.
F them picks because, you know, we signed all these free agents and made all these trades.
And traded all the picks away and they won a Super Bowl. So, but now, you know what's happening now, though, those decisions? You know what's going on?
No, what's going on?
They're coming home to roost.
Decisions. Why doesn't that ever happen with the New Orleans Saints? I feel like they're always like $200 million over the cap.
But they're not doing anything. So, like, you know, it's been roosting there. You know, I mean, they just, ever since Drew Brees left, they really haven't. They've been a nothing team.
I know that, but I'm just saying I feel like they still owe money to, like, people that are not playing there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just the way I feel about it.
Well, it's sort of like the Nets and the Mets here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just pay guys who are already.
Well, it's going to be like the Dodgers with Ohtani.
Well, that is true. But like,
when Yankees sign a contract, they sign a real contract.
Here's
your money.
Right.
Here you go. We're not doing any of this Fugazi stuff.
Well, we'll see what happens with Soto. Soto might get a Fugazi situation. Yeah. I'm surprised you hear Cooper Kupp, his name thrown out there, Stafford's name thrown out there. I mean, I think there's a very good chance that the Rams do win this game, especially with Cooper Kupp coming back. I mean, I don't see a world where this is a Vikings dominating performance, especially the way that they've played on defense the last couple of weeks where they haven't been as good. So,
I mean, Matthew Stafford is making $46 million this year. And he's got another year on this contract that he's presently on. And then after next year, they can get out of the contract. So it's like a Davante Adams situation, a Max Crosby situation, one of those contracts.
Yeah.
But his dead cap, the cap hit for them right now is $46 million. That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess, I mean, the dead cap is really not that much, actually. I don't know. There's an option bonus. There's all sorts of stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that it's possible. And that's all you really need to know once you sift through all the details. Is it possible? Is it not possible?
The dead cap is, like, according to this, a spot track, the dead cap for them is $94 million. And that was coming into this year. So a lot of his money's already been paid. The dead cap next year would be like $49 million.
Yeah, there could be like a post June 1 situation, whatever. I don't know. That's so confusing, but
it is, you know, isn't it annoying?
It is. It's not quite as confusing as the NBA, but it is confusing. I don't. Why in the NFC would anybody at this stage of the season start trading away guys? Unless you're the Carolina Panthers, who are the worst team. I mean, the NFC is wide open.
The NFC is wide open, especially the NFC West at the moment. Yeah, the NFC North is a little bit dicey.
Well, it's a good division.
The NFC South has got, you know, the Falcons and, you know, and the Bucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would just be shocking to me if they ended up trading away Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford and whoever the hell else. It just doesn't make any sense. So, And they could win tonight, and that changes everything. But okay, so if you're the Giants though, and you've got this
you have five losses.
Yeah, and obviously the five losses for the Giants different than the five losses for the Jets at this point, because the Jets are all in on this season. They're going to wait to the very last moment before they're completely dead to do anything.
Oh, yeah, they got Hassan Reddick right now.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
This starts the season
The catalyst.
Has started now.
Now they're in.
This is where it begins, according to Al Dukes.
So,
and by the way, did you see that Rob Saleh is consulting with the Packers?
Yeah, that's his buddy.
They're very tight buddies.
That was his best man in his wedding and the
whole
thing.
LaFleur. So Matt LaFleur, now I don't know if this is a dig at the Jets. The Packers don't like the Jets. The Packers don't like Aaron Rodgers. They don't like anything about it. Whatever. Matt LaFleur said he hired Rob Saleh to consult with his offense.
He's
got a fluid situation going on consulting with the Packer offense.
Well, he's probably, but all right. The way that's worded, he could be using his defensive genius, for lack of a better term, to help out the offense and say, hey, you know, if you see this, you see that, I'm seeing some things, this is how I would play.
But why couldn't he do that with the Jets?
Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe. Well, actually, you know what? He didn't, because Aaron Rodgers is there. Rodgers is running the show.
But I thought Rob, when he was here, said he was going to be overlooking the offense.
Right, after they almost hired Arthur Smith. So I don't know. I just know that he is there now, and I'm going to pick the Packers to lose this week because he's there.
Don't be like that.
Going to torpedo the season.
Man, you are like just relentless. Guys, out of here now.
No, I know. You said it was the right move.
I did. I felt like, you know, they're going to try to save the season because something was going on internally.
Yeah.
You know that. I know that. And I don't know if it happened on the plane back from London. I don't know if it happened on the plane to London. It sounded to me like Rob was getting really frustrated. Rob Saleh was getting really, really frustrated with the offense. And he wanted to make changes. He was going to make changes. Changes have ultimately been made. But he ended up getting released. I don't know why. It has to be something between Woody, Christopher, and Aaron Rodgers. There has to be some sort of ironclad agreement that the Johnson brothers wanted to be able to allow Nathaniel Hackett to stay here.
Yeah, but the way things played out, that doesn't make sense.
And the offense is not doing something, and you're the head coach, and you internally, you know, you're not happy with what's going on and how the team is unprepared, or in your eyes, the team is unprepared.
Yeah, but once Ulbrich came in, he still made that switch to Todd Downing, and it sounded like every person who talked about Nate Hackett after that was like, we're so happy that he's staying, you know, and I told him I appreciate you that you're staying. So it was implied that they said, listen, you can go if you want.
Yeah, I told you that.
And he stayed. So it had ironclad deal with the owners is not, it can't be a thing.
You know, if they told him you can go,
I know,
they still demoted him.
But my point being is that if Rob Saleh wanted to make this change and maybe wanted to fire Nathaniel Hackett, maybe he wanted to fire him, not just switch to Todd Downing, but fire him completely. And Woody didn't want that because of the agreement that he has with Aaron Rodgers. Then he's going to fire the guy that may have said to Woody, hey, look, I can't coach this team under the current set of circumstances, the way the offense is playing. I've got to shake this thing up. And I think the best thing to do would be to get these, get one of these guys out of the building, meaning Nathaniel Hackett. And Woody, knowing that he has an agreement with Aaron Rodgers to get him here in the first place, maybe said, hey, look, man, you know, you're not firing the guy. You're not getting rid of him. He's staying here. And maybe that was the phone call that Woody had with Aaron. Hey, look, I'm going to let the head coach go. But, you know, we want to make a change to the offensive coordinator. Your guy can stay here if he wants. But if he wants to leave, he can leave too. It's up to him. Maybe something like that. Again, I'm speculating. Maybe something like that went down.
Yeah, well, at this point, the details are sort of irrelevant because they're in the midst. They've just lost two games after Rob Saleh is gone and nothing has worked. And lost one game with Davante Adams. And I'm telling you, with the mess that is the New England Patriots right now, if there is any way that they lose that football game to the Patriots, then forget it. Then just pack it up. Pack it up for the rest of the year. Like, don't even play the rest of the games. If they lost to that team when there's a mutiny going on in that locker room with their head coach, just called them soft? Imagine?
Yeah. Well, like I told you, the head coach is a former player. And former player, when you play, it's one thing to say it because you're a part of the team. You're on the field. You could be the team captain, and you have some privileges and rights that maybe you can get away with saying something like that. When you're the coach, you can say stuff like that too. But I can tell you this, the way that the people outside the building are going to react to it, and like how Max Crosby is reacting to it, you know, a player for the Raiders who was asked on the Jim Gray podcast that he does with him, he goes, hey, those are fighting words. I'd want to fight my coach. So now the players in that locker room are hearing how active players and ex-players are all responding to it. So now they have to respond to it internally. And this is where a rookie head coach can sometimes get himself in trouble. Now, DeMeco Ryans never went down that road with Houston because he didn't have to, because he had a rookie quarterback. It was exciting. Everything was great. Jerod Mayo goes down that road because basically the team has no offense whatsoever. Now, all of a sudden, I will say that Drake May has given them some offense, but they had no offense for the first 5 weeks of the season. Then the defense gets run through by Tank Bigsby this past week. What is Jerod Mayo supposed to say?
Well, not to the media.
But then again,
that
your boy
soft.
Bill Belichick decided to say, hey, those are all the same players I had, and we had the number one run defense. Yeah, he's great. He's just like ripping away on everybody.
But it's great. You don't love it?
I love it. I appreciate it, but you know, for all the years that I covered him and them and everything else, you know, you always, like, when he stood up there and said, we're on the Cincinnati, or like, he really didn't want to talk about losses and we can't do anything about it.
It's a different job, though.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's like,
I understand, but now he is just ripping away at people who have very, very difficult jobs.
Yeah, but
and you would think if anybody knew that, it would be him.
But he's going to be, he knows, he's so smart that he knows what the best thing to do for his head coach job is, speaking to the media, how to present himself, and what the best job he could do, he's got to say stuff here in the media. I mean, now, it's like having that friend in high school who was always breaking laws and doing dumb stuff that turned into a police officer. You're like, wait a second, how can you be a police officer?
Exactly. Like, that's exactly right.
They're like, well, hey, it's a different job now. I'm a different person, and I'm deciding to do this.
And I'm going to rip away at people, which is good. I mean, that's who he is. That's what he wants to do. That's fine. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, supposedly there were reports that he has a skeleton coaching staff ready to rock and roll right out of the gate.
Skeleton coaching staff?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I thought he has a coaching staff, but you don't have a coaching staff.
Huh.
I heard skeleton, so I don't know if that means offensive, defensive coordinators.
Does it just mean a ton of old people? Could it mean that?
You know, what is wrong with old people?
I mean, nothing. People, it's just, you said skeleton, so I mean,
older people have experience. Experience that a younger person.
I didn't say anything negative. I just was reacting to the word skeleton. That's all. You said a skeleton coaching staff.
You know
does that mean like that guy? What's that guy? Tom Moore?
That guy, is he still around?
I think he's still around.
Okay.
Yes. But I don't know if Tom Moore's involved in this. I have no... Well, maybe Josh McDaniels is involved in this. Is he a skeleton?
Oh, God.
What do you mean? Oh God.
He can't.
You could tell he's one of the great offensive coordinators during his time. Couldn't be a head coach.
No, he could not.
Probably got Matt Patricia on that staff.
Yeah, well, none of those
Joe
guys.
Judge is going to be on that staff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? McDaniels and Belichick.
Bring the band back together. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And go somewhere where there's a legitimate quarterback that you can win with.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if that job is available, because generally when there's legitimate quarterbacks, the coaches don't get fired.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I got to say, first and foremost, congratulations to our former colleague, Craig Carton, who got inducted into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame yesterday.
Yes, absolutely.
It was a great, great luncheon over there at the Rainbow Room, which took me an hour to get there from down here, by the way.
Okay.
I mean, and I ended up showing up 15 minutes late, so I missed all the kind of introductions, and I guess they introduced him as Craig Carlton, which is perfect.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, it was. For him, I guess. I don't know. But he gave a great speech, an absolutely great speech, and we were showing a picture on CBS Sports Network with all of us, and there's one guy missing. And his name's Evan Roberts, who showed up yesterday, and it looked like he was on a first grade field trip, the way that he was dressed.
Heard about this.
I mean, it was brutal. I mean, like, what kind of, like, and I rode back with Chris Olivero, the architect, and I said, Evan was blaming you for his outfit yesterday. And he goes, he's a grown man with two children. It's a Hall of Fame luncheon at the Rainbow Room. What else do I have to tell him?
Yeah, McMonagle described it as he looked like he was going to dinner on a cruise ship.
Well, I thought he was
I don't know what he was dressed in, but I can picture exactly what that is.
Dude, I thought he was like a first grader on a field trip to the Rainbow Room. Oh, look out the window. Oh, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, that's what it felt like. It felt very unprofessional. You know, all the other honorees, congratulations to them as well. All had full tables, people supporting them, all dressed to the nines. Everybody looked great. I will say McMonagle looked like he was going to a funeral. He was going to be a pallbearer, but other than that.
He looked sharp.
Yeah, well, look at him.
He had a Gucci tie on.
He did. Well, that's Vinny Scorantino, Vinny the Tailor.
Yeah, gave him the Gucci tie?
Well, he took care of him, dressed him up.
And nice.
Make him look presentable.
No, I think he looked good.
Yeah. Tommy Lugauer's got his sneakers on.
His moon boots on.
Oh, God. I mean, what are we doing?
He got his Air Neil Armstrongs.
When I posted that photo, that got the most reaction, the was Tommy's shoes. Yeah.
I have to say, though, it was a really nice day, and Craig did a great job with his speech, and his entire family was there. So I think it's like a full 180 moment for all of us. Would you say?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I thought it was great, actually.
It was a very nice
thing. I hope you're not mad at me.
Why would I be mad at you?
I don't know. It's my former partner. I don't know.
I texted Craig yesterday. I said, congratulations. Have a great day. Why would I be mad at you?
All right. Good. Good.
I mean,
appreciate it.
I mean, a full 180 moment means you come back. You know, you go like halfway. So like.
I think we're halfway back.
So like if you go the other 180, then
that'd be
sitting
360.
Here. Yeah.
I don't feel like it's a 360.
Then I'd be mad at you.
No, that's why I said a 180.
All right.
A 360 would be full circle.
Full circle. Yeah.
Next to me.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's sitting over there at Fox.
That's right.
What's his new show? He's working with Mark Schlereth, right?
Yeah, Danny Parkins.
Danny Parkins.
Embarrassing.
That's right.
He did at one point, which was funny, as he introduced all of us. And then he goes, and my family at Fox, I'd introduce you, but no one knows who you are. Wow. Poor guys are sitting there like,
Were they there with Schlereth and Parkins?
He introduced Schlereth.
Yeah.
But everybody has no one knows who you are.
Wow.
I asked Schlereth, I said, you know, did you have to move to New York for that show? He goes, yeah, love it. I'm like, okay. Well, let me talk to you in a year from now. I mean, he's living out in Denver, I think.
Yeah, I don't know where Mark Schlereth was living. You looked at me like I would know.
And he told me his son is the pitching coach for some school down in Tampa. Which so his wife is going back and forth, like he was telling me. And he's like, yeah, it's great to be in New York. Love it. He walks everywhere. I'm like, yeah, nobody's messing with that guy.
No, absolutely not. He's got some bad knees and he's walking everywhere.
believe me, I think his knees are just fine. He's probably had them replaced.
He's had like 60-some-odd surgeries. Oh,
he's still got some pipes on him there.
Wow.
That guy standing next to that skinny dude from Chicago,
yeah,
that's a weird look.
Danny Parkins.
Yeah, he's like a very slim dude. And Mark Schlereth's got, I saw like a side profile. He's got like...
He looks like...
Thick chest.
Yeah, thick chest.
Thick some bitch.
He looks like, Danny Parkins looks like a tapeworm that was taken out of Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But, well, there you go. Anyway, it was a nice afternoon, except for a couple of the hiccups along the way. Yeah.
Hiccups meaning the traffic.
Well, Craig Carlton, the traffic, Evan dressed like this, Tommy wearing moon boots. I mean, it was a few things.
That's the way it needed to be, though, right? I mean, Evan never dresses nice. Tommy had to have a little bit of a flair there. Like, that's the way it needed to be.
I mean,
like, Evan's never looked well-dressed in his entire life.
But I'm just saying, like, Evan put those clothes on. Does he not have a mirror in his house?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you've been talking about this for years.
I know that, but doesn't he go and look at himself in the mirror and go, yeah, that looks like it's New York State Broadcasting Hall of Fame worthy?
Yeah. Well, he's never been appropriate, ever. He wore, I mean, we go back to when I was producing for him, and he showed up to Yankee Stadium on opening day wearing a hooded sweatshirt and sweatpants. To Yankees opening day. Like, even me as a producer, like, put on real pants, tucked in my shirt. I'm like, this is, we're doing the show from the Yankees radio booth.
And this is not a shtick, by the way.
No, he showed up wearing sweat, and even, I've never seen Sweeney Murdy mad, like, ever, maybe once or twice at some technical thing. Like, he was legitimately pissed off at Evan Roberts. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, how is anybody ever going to take you seriously? You show up at opening day to broadcast from the Yankees radio booth, and you look like you're in gym class in sixth grade.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's how he looked like yesterday, but you're not... I mean, we don't
fast forward to when he's 41 years old, he's doing the same stuff.
Right, he, you know, tie, jacket, no, you don't need that. Just look a little bit presentable. Al looked presentable yesterday. Al had a nice... dark shirt on, short sleeves.
And Evan kept comparing himself to me. He kept going, well, I'm glad you dressed like that, too.
Al, you're dressed up. You got your hard shoes on. Look at you and Jerry. Both of you guys are dressed up. Eddie even got dressed up.
Yeah, his shirt's coming out, though, and that's that picture.
That was a couple of wines in at that point.
Yeah, Eddie and I were day drinking yesterday.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, we had a couple glasses of wine. I only had one, so.
Oh, wow. And, Al, you got on the subway?
I did, because my battle was... subway nervousness or watching the clock tick in an Uber while I have to get out of the city. Like, my anxiety was like just going through the roof. And we were traveled in a pack. Me, Eddie, Jerry,
McMonagle. They surrounded you as you were getting onto the subway,
Tommy,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I felt good with McMonagle. He was in a suit. He looked like he could
see
somebody.
Secret Service or something.
He was like the muscle.
Yeah, the muscle.
We traveled in a pack. all right, Jerry, let's get to some sports here. Huh?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. You got the Rams and the Vikings tonight, opening up week 8 in the NFL. Sunday, you've got the Jets in New England. Here is Hassan Reddick. He didn't speak to the media. I think he'll do that today, I believe. But he did have either Instagram or Twitter, whatever. A little message.
Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody? Feel good to be back on the turf. Hope we can make something happen.
Yeah, well, the Jet fans better hope so. Devontae Adams tried to make something happen after the loss to the Steelers, speaking to the team as you guys were discussing.
Just basically, I just took a moment to let them know, like, I had reservations about speaking up too early and being too vocal too early, but I felt like, you know, in my mind, I said, F that, because I need to, you know, we don't have time, and I got to do whatever I got to do to help this team move forward.
And then you wonder, how was the message received? How did they hear it? Here was Aaron Rodgers.
To paraphrase without using any French, I thought it was the realest speech I'd ever heard in a locker room in 20 years.
All I hear is Brandon talking about the most poignant moment when I hear
in
that.
Sports in my lifetime.
I'll tell you what, man. I hope they get this thing right. It's, everything's just going to be,
you know,
unraveling.
I'm not sure I do now. I'm serious. Like, I know it's going to help us, and it'd be great to see him win. I'm starting to root against this group. Like, because the way that Woody Johnson took this thing over and basically pushed Joe Douglas aside and like, hey, I'm going to do this. You don't want to fire the coach. Tough, I'm firing the coach. Like, you don't want Hassan Reddick or cave to Hassan Reddick. Tough, I'm going to cave to Hassan Reddick. Now I want it to blow up in Woody's face. Like, that, like, I don't want them to lose. I want them to win. But, like, it just, it pisses me off that he got so involved in this thing. And it just, I don't know.
You know what the unseen thing here is? Remember when Hassan Reddick changed agents, or his agents dumped him and he signed with Drew Rosenhaus? The reason that, believe it or not, Drew Rosenhaus is not Scott Boras. Teams like Drew Rosenhaus, and they like working with him because he wants to get his athletes on the field. He wants to get them their money. And somehow, some way, he may have talked Hassan Reddick into going back and playing, and then we'll see what happens after the year is over. So, you know, Drew Rosenhaus had probably a big say in all of this to convince Hassan Reddick to get back here.
Well, this is still Jet-related in terms of their former coach, Rob Saleh. You guys were talking about him being with the Packers Wednesday in this unspecified role. Here was Matt LaFleur.
He's helping us on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's always a good deal to have that perspective, you know, that defensive perspective on that side of the ball. So just taking a look at some of the things we're doing.
So sounds as if he's trying to look at it from that way, as maybe what they're doing wrong and what defenses are seeing. Who knows? He also said he's not going to be there every day. He's going to have to spend time with his family. So I guess this is just a couple of days. I don't know if this will be anything permanent. You did have Giants owner John Mara saying Wednesday there will not be any changes, specifically talking about Shane and Dable, and there won't be any in the offseason either. So these two have got to get it right. We've got more NFL sound coming up next hour, a lot of it, actually. You got the World Series starting tomorrow night in Los Angeles with the Yankees and the Dodgers. I want to give you one from David Stearns, Mets president of baseball operations. He met the media Wednesday. Here he was, and I thought this answer, I think you guys will like this answer, asked about replicating what LA is doing and what they have done.
Cohen had mentioned that he wanted this the Mets to be the Dodgers of the East. How close are we to that at this point?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about being anyone else. I'm just not. I'm concerned about being the Mets. I'm concerned about creating the best organization we can here for the Mets with an identity that is uniquely New York.
Yeah, that was a pretty good answer. I don't know why. I like that one. And then he talked about Pete Alonso, said they've talked, but he's going to let him go to free agency and check the market and all that. So more from him coming up throughout the course of the morning as well. You had the Hawks beat the Nets. Pretty entertaining game, believe it or not. 121-16. You had Nick Claxton, the clothesline on Dyson Daniels in transition. He got ejected after that hit. Then things, there were a couple of different instances where things got a little dicey, if you will, and chippy. Trae Young had 30 points and 12 assists in the opener for Atlanta. And then this was before the game. Now, you got to listen in the background. So ESPN is promoting that Steve Ballmer is coming up next. They opened up their new stadium, their new arena last night for the Clippers and the Suns. Listen to the energy. Maybe the Jets could hire this guy. The energy he has in the background as they're promoting the segment.
Right, Paul George and Joel Embiid. All Philly fans are going to have to wait. Right, Paul George and Joel Embiid. Steve Ballmer, he joins us right after the break. He looks ready.
So is that Steve Ballmer screaming?
That's what I just said. Yeah, he's in the background.
And by the way, their team lost.
They did. They lost. Durant hit a shot late, and then they lost in overtime to the Suns.
Kevin Durant, he's still playing?
He is still playing. So he was out there with the fans trying to get ready for opening night, and that's what he was doing. Then there's video of him inside the arena, sitting with the stands, leading the dance and the cheers. I mean, he is into it. And then they lost.
Rangers was, in overtime.
Yeah, exactly. Rangers lost to the home for the Panthers tonight. The Devils are in Detroit tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, I listen to the first segment of the warm-up show every day to see what these guys are talking about. And there's a lot of times that there's something that's said that I want to bring to you because I know you don't listen. So the word hot take is used a lot in this business, right? Like the, you know, Aaron Rod, like Sean Morash, like threw out there, like trade Aaron Rodgers at the trade deadline if they lose another game, stuff like that. You know, the beginning of the season, positive Tommy says start Tommy DeVito over Daniel Jones, like things like this, right? You know, these
hyperbole.
These takes that get attention and that's sports talk and people react to it. But I think that this, what I heard this morning from Al, could be the hottest of all takes.
Al had a hot take?
Yes, but I don't even think he realized it was a hot take.
Okay.
But it was a hot take.
Could this be discussed on ESPN later on today with people screaming back and forth at each other?
I don't think so, because I think that is this is more cerebral than the topics that they do on First Take and on ESPN. Al believes that people do not enjoy tailgating before games. They just think they're supposed to enjoy tailgating before
games.
Hot
take. Very hot take. I would say that driving into MetLife Stadium on Sunday, I haven't done that in a long, 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 long time. That parking lot was full from 9 o'clock on. I guess they opened it at 9. Yeah, whatever, I mean, whenever they opened it, those people were already there. They had the...
It's earlier because Jerry got there at 8:30 and it was filled.
It was. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it was early. Maybe they opened it at 8 o'clock. But, man, all the grills were going.
Yeah.
All the flags were flying. I saw a lot of Trump flags, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of giant Trump flags out there. But I will say that there was, it was packed, Al, so I don't necessarily know that you know what you're talking about.
Well, because people think they're supposed to go and tailgate. That's part of what you do, but they don't actually enjoy it. Like, maybe I should have said it this way. If you eliminate alcohol and weed, most things are not enjoyed by people. Like, it's only just them getting drunk or smoking weed, and then they also happen to be going to a game, but... Like, tailgating is not enjoyable if you're not getting hammered or smoking weed.
Yes, and you should have put that in there, too, because that was going to be my counter-argument.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of people go there, and hopefully they don't get in cars after this, but a lot of people go to these games, and it's a pure escape from their lives. It's a full day of an escape from their normal life.
But it's a
life.
Party. It's like going to the beach. It's like if you're going to the beach on a set, like, you love going to the beach, don't you?
Well, I make this argument to Gina about the beach. I said, I'm across from the beach. I can see the beach from my balcony. I'll sit on my balcony. But that's not the same as going on the sand.
No, it's not the same as going on that beach. You and Gina never go walk on a beach?
No, I do go on the beach. But I'm saying, to me, it's better to be on your balcony.
You know, you just can't win with him.
I mean, do you think that people go to the beach because they think they're supposed to go to the beach?
I do, because if you see families showing up at the beach, it looks a lot more trouble than it's worth.
All right, I will say, because I got a lot of experience with this, since having small children, going to the beach is much less enjoyable, but...
Yeah, well, for the dad, everything, yeah.
Right, but I do get joy out of giving my kids what I had growing up.
100%.
But there's no doubt about it.
You're fooling yourself.
No.
Those good times that people are having, and the camaraderie and the smiling and the laughing and the good times, they're fooling themselves because they can't really be having a good time.
I will say this, that yesterday at the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame, I was looking at Al during lunch.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there. Well, he didn't want to be there.
No, this is my point. I wanted to be there. I didn't want to be in New York City later than I usually am. So that's what I'm saying. The good time is the event, but the surrounding of the good time, like, that takes away from a good time.
See, I don't agree with that. I do not agree with that. I think that people look forward to their Sunday afternoons, you know, getting together with, you know, like-minded fans and family and friends and tradition and history, and they love doing that. I know that you don't think that way, and I'm not going to sit here and belabor this whole argument because I think it's stupid, but I would just push back, even though it will be gently so I don't trigger you, that I think people really do enjoy it for all the, you know why? Because I have friends who have been doing this for years and years and years and years. The team sucks. The team can't score any points at home. They hate going to the game, but they love getting together, probably more about commiserating about the Giants right now than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think, too, that it's about the memories. Now, I don't know for you, like, great example was the MetLife Stadium game that we did. I'd never been on the sideline for an NFL game. So really enjoyable for me. It took me close to 3 hours to get home. I don't think about that drive now. Like, it was in the moment, it sucked. But I am thinking and referencing things that I saw on that field, and my memory of that day is going to be that experience that I had. Like, I won't be thinking about that drive, so...
But were you thinking about that drive while you were on the field?
I actually wasn't. because it was so, it was just so much going on.
It was
on.
Great. We had a great time. When, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. They treated us like royalty.
Plus, it was also early in the day. I do think about, like, when you have to get up and it's getting later and later and later.
If we had an 8:15 game, forget it. We're
right.
Not going.
That's, then I'm a mess. But, I mean, this was a Sunday and the game ended at 4 o'clock. It's like, oh, you know, be all right. Everything will be fine. And then we had to stay up and watch the Mets and the Jets lose.
Yes.
That night until 11:30.
It was nuts.
What a day.
But I don't agree with him. I'm sorry. I don't. I, you know, there's some people that, you know, may feel the same way he does. I think the far majority of people who do that
enjoy it.
Like the Winters Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, they love it. They love, they're proud of it.
Even when their team has a losing record.
It's better than, sometimes better than the game.
No. They're all just living a lie.
Okay. Okay, you've been to that, what, 3 times?
Yeah.
And have you enjoyed it?
Oh, absolutely.
And shut the hell up.
Well, no, he's being sarcastic.
Yeah, right. Okay. Don't be jumping down a Winters Brothers' throats, man.
No. He's making fun of Al. He's not agreeing with Al.
All right.